Hello, dear friends. This is once again Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. You know this is your hometown radio station right there in Madison and North Florida, but I pray it's becoming a station that you listen to anywhere you're listening on the World Wide Web as WMAF streams to anywhere in the United States, anywhere in the world. We pray that you will stay tuned to this very important broadcast that we have today, this very important principle about prayer that we're bringing forth today right out of the Word of God. And we just can't hardly wait to get into the Word today, and especially to get the Word of God in us. Hallelujah. It's one thing to get into the Word, and it's another thing to get the Word in you and me today. You know what the Bible said about God's own Word, Jesus' teaching about the Word of God? He said, if it falls in a good ground heart, it will bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. I think that's the most incredible, powerful, potent thing that there is about God's Word. If it finds a heart that it can germinate in and bring forth its life, its fruit, its product of the Word of God. Oh, hallelujah. What a change is going to make in my life. What a change is going to make in your life. If God created heaven and earth through this Word, and He did, then what can He create inside of you and inside of me? Praise God. Amen. Well, we're getting ready to go to the Word of God today, and we pray that you're ready to go with us. We're talking about the power of perpetual praying, praying without ceasing. Amen. Perseverance in prayer equals victory in battle. And that's why the enemy fights so desperately at this time and this place of prayer within our hearts and within our lives. And that's why I believe I have such a passionate heart to teach and preach about prayer, and not only that, but to practice it in my daily life. And I have found it difficult down through the years to put prayer in its proper place and perspective as the Word of God does. God's Word gives prayer top priority. Jesus, when He cleansed the temple, and there was a lot of things going on in the temple, as there should be. Amen. There was the reading and teaching of the Word of God. There was the offering of the proper sacrifices. But above all, He said, "My Father's house shall be called a house of prayer." In the New Testament, the New Covenant, the apostles chose seven men, the beginning of those church helpers, those deacons that were to take the load off the ministers, and they said, "Choose you seven men full of the Holy Ghost to take care of these other things, that we might give ourselves to preaching." Now, that's not number one. The priority again is prayer, that we might give ourselves to prayer and to ministry of the Word. C.H. Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers, as he was called, with all of his preaching prowess and ability and anointing, he said, "I'd rather teach one man to pray than 10 men to preach." He knew the place and priority and power and privilege of prayer. And He made that the priority. Many people tried to figure out why that there were so many people coming to Jesus in that great church in London where He pastored and preached for so many years. And He gave all the credit to the intercessory prayers of His people and His personal prayer life. I'm telling you, the devil's not afraid of theological accuracy in the Word without the power of the Holy Spirit released through intercessory prayer. I want you to know today that prayer has the number one place in the Word of God. And that's why the Bible tells us, Paul tells us, to pray without ceasing. That simply means to never give up on prayer and never stop utilizing the power and privilege of prayer in our personal life. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is incredible, incredible, a wonderful, powerful, potentially life-changing messages in the Word of God. If we can get God's people and God's ministers back into the prayer closet, back into intercession, we're going to see mighty answers to prayer. You see, praying without ceasing will bring astonishing results. I want to say that again today. Praying without ceasing will bring astonishing results. If you have your Bibles, let's open them today. We talked about 1 Thessalonians as our text. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, simply pray without ceasing. Let's get some incentives today to pray without ceasing, because we are anticipating astonishing results when we pray that way. Acts chapter 12 and verse 5 begins this wonderful testimony to the power of perpetual prayer. Peter is imprisoned by Herod. He's held over to be put to death. The situation is desperate, and so is the Church of Jesus Christ. Acts 12:5, and I'm going to read all the way down to verse 18. Listen to this. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Of the Church of God, unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side, and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly," and his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself, and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he said unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought that he saw a vision. And when they passed the first and second ward, they came into the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of its own accord, and they went out, passed through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and the form of all, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." And he, when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, and many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked on the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And she saw Peter, when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. And they said, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Hallelujah. Verse 17 says, "But he beckoned unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto him how the Lord had brought him out of prison, and said, 'Go show these things unto James and to the brethren.' And he departed to another place. And as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what had become of Peter." Praise God. You see, when God moves supernaturally to answer prayer, even the believers were astonished. They were so busy interceding and praying, they were not even looking for the answer. And when the answer was standing at the door, it was so astounding that they could hardly believe it. Hallelujah. They said, "You're crazy. Peter's in prison. He's locked up, and he's between soldiers. He's in chains. No, we're praying for him." But they did not expect God to do this great grand, wonderful miracle of deliverance supernaturally. And it was difficult for them. It was so astonishing. You know, I'm expecting answers to prayer. The Bible said, "As your faith be unto you, as your faith be, so be it unto you." That's what Jesus said. So I have a great expectation when I pray. But when that answer does come, I'm always astounded, not that the answer came, but at the supernatural way in which God brings it. He takes me back. It takes my breath away sometimes. I get goose pimples on top of my goose pimples. I get that liver shiver, if you know what I mean. Something runs all over me when we start talking about God coming through, God answering prayer. This mighty, wonderful God is not sitting aloof in his heaven, distant from us, unconcerned about our lives and the thing that is touching our lives. But the Bible said that his eyes are upon the righteous and his ears are open unto their cry. I believe, friend of mine, that God wants to astonish us with wisdom and might in answer to persistent prayer. Now, the devil will try to distract and deceive us so that he may discourage us from praying altogether. I want you to read a verse of Scripture back in the Old Covenant with us today. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41 through 45. It said, "And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of an abundance of rain." There is the sound of an abundance of rain. Was there thunder? Was clouds covering the sky? Of course, we could make a statement like that. Hadn't rained for 3 years as a judgment upon the land. But Elijah knew it was time. He knew in his heart. He heard God speak to his heart, "I'm ready to break this drought. I am ready. I am ready to send an abundance of rain." And Elijah heard it in his heart. It wasn't thundering. It wasn't lightning. There wasn't wind. There wasn't a cloud at that point in the sky when Elijah made this statement. "I hear there's the sound of an abundance of rain. You better get ready for this to occur." So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. He cast himself upon the earth and put his face between his knees, and said to his servant. Now, he was praying that God would loose the heavens. See, the Bible elaborates on this in the New Covenant, in the New Testament, in the book of James. It said, this man that's about to pray, this man that saw such powerful, astonishing, supernatural answers to prayer, the Bible said something about him that is so extraordinary and so encouraging today. Now Elijah, the Bible said in the book of James in the New Testament, was a man subject to like passions as you are. But he prayed. Praise God. It was the fact that he prayed in faith, believing. He prayed persistently and consistently. Elijah was a man just like you, just like me, with like passions, like fears, like faults, like frailties. But he prayed. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. When he prayed on the top of Mount Carmel, God answered by fire. Amen. When he prayed here, God sent the answer. So what marked him, what set him apart, was there something extraordinary about him? The Bible said, as a man, he was just like you and he was just like me, but he prayed. Hallelujah. Amen. That God would open the heavens and God opened them. He prayed God would shut and God shut. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Hallelujah. Amen. So he said to his servant as he was praying, after he prayed in verse 43 of 1 Kings 18, he said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." And he went up and looked and said, "There's nothing." He said, go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time, he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. Now Elijah had already said before he prayed, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. Friend, he had to hear it in his heart because he couldn't hear that in his head. There were no clouds. There was no thunder. There was no lightning. But when God dropped his will and purpose into his heart and said, I want to send you a frog strangler. Well, that's not King James, but you know what I'm saying. There's coming an abundance of rain. Hallelujah. Amen. And he said, go up. He said, I see a little cloud. Seventh time, nothing. First time, seven times to seven times. On the seventh time, I see a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand coming up. And he said, go up and say to Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Praise God. Amen. Ahab rode, but Elijah ran. There's something about God coming through, God showing up, God showing out. Hallelujah. That will give us an energy and an enthusiasm that we would never ever have if we don't ever see the hand of God moving like God wants to move. You see, God's people are helped. His promises are kept. And his great name is glorified when prayer is answered. That's why the old covenant said, who has a God like their God? A God so nigh them in all that they call upon him for. When they prayed, God answered. And when God answered, his people were helped. God's promises were kept. And God's name was glorified. And God's name was honored. He distinguished himself as the true and living God through answered prayer. Hallelujah. Don't be discouraged today, friend of mine, when you pray in faith and there seems to be no immediate results, no visible change, no initial evidence that God has heard you or will answer. Keep on praying and keep on believing. Pray without ceasing. That was the key in Peter's deliverance. Prayer was made without ceasing. And Elijah didn't cease to pray when his servant said, I don't see nothing. He told him, well, you better go look again. Hallelujah. In fact, I want you to go seven times before you come back here with any kind of report to me. And on the seventh time, I saw a little cloud like a man's hand coming up out of the sea. Said, go tell Ahab to get out of the lowlands, get everybody to the highlands, because a great rain is coming. This drought is broken. God is going to open the heavens. Praise God. Remember this. When you hear it in your spirit, before you see it with your eyes, you begin to stand on it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Elijah heard it in his heart, but he prayed it with his mouth, and God brought it to pass. I want to talk about just a few minutes. What does it mean to pray without ceasing? I think it means three things. First, that there is a spirit of dependence that should permeate everything that we do. This is the very spirit and essence of prayer. So even when we are not speaking consciously to God, there's a deep abiding dependence on him that is woven into the heart of faith. In a sense, we pray or have the spirit of prayer continuously. We always depend on God for everything. Second, I think this is what Paul has in mind most immediately. Praying without ceasing means praying repeatedly and often. I base this on the use of the word without ceasing. It's a Greek word in Romans 1:9, where Paul said, "For God, whom I serve in my spirit, in the preaching, in the gospel of his Son, is my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you." Now, we can be sure that Paul did not mention the Romans every minute of his prayers. He prayed about many other things, but he mentioned them over and over and often. So without ceasing doesn't mean that verbally or mentally we have to be speaking prayers every minute of the day, but we should pray over and over and often. Our default mental state should be, "Oh God, hear my prayer." Third, I think praying without ceasing means not giving up, never giving up, never giving in. Don't ever come to a point in your life where you cease to pray at all. Don't abandon the God of hope and say, "There's no use praying." Go on praying. Don't cease. Pray without ceasing. You know, I've used the term, God showed up and God shows out. And I want you to know where I got that term. It wasn't the Bible, any version of the Bible, but from a personal testimony of a man that I worked with. His wife had a blood disorder, a blood disease of some sort, some kind of infection or disease of the blood. It was very rare. And when they finally discovered it, she was almost at the point of death. And when they did discover it, they didn't know how to treat it. The doctors actually gave up and told him it would be a matter of time before his wife would be deceased. She would perish. He went into her room by himself. He asked the nurse if he could be undisturbed while he prayed, and she honored his wishes. His wife was unresponsive. She was unconscious. He said to me, this was on a Monday morning when he came and gave this report to me. He said, "Pastor Venable," he said, "I got down on my knees and I began to pray with everything that is within me. And I called on the name of the Lord. And I prayed with a passion, because I didn't want to lose my wife, and I didn't feel in my heart it was God's time to take her. It wasn't just because she was in her 40s. It was because he heard in his heart." Amen. He heard the sound of an answered prayer, of a healing, of a deliverance, of an intervention supernaturally in the circumstance and situation. He said, "I prayed and I felt faith arising in my heart toward God as I was praying." And he said, "Before I even finished the prayer, my prayer changed from petition to praise. And I began to thank him for healing my wife and raising her up." And he said, "Brother Venable," he said, "God showed up. And then God showed out." He said within 30 minutes after praying, his wife woke up and sat up. And from that moment, within 48 hours from that moment, she walked out of the hospital. They still don't know what made all of that problem in the blood dissipate and disappear. It's hard for them to acknowledge the supernatural. Did you know something? It's not just hard for people in their intellectual, secular perspectives to grasp that. It's difficult for the church of Jesus Christ to grasp it. The church was praying for Peter to be delivered, because they knew they were dead set on killing him, and they had him locked up in a fashion that no human being could get him out of that jail. But I'm going to tell you something right now. The prayer that touched the heart of God released the hand of God back in the book of Acts, and God showed up, and then God showed out. Hallelujah. Praise God. And friend of mine, I believe that this very same God will show up and show out here in the 21st century. The church world has changed. The world itself has changed. But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there is a statement about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God that answered prayer, amen, for Elijah. The Bible said that He's the Lord God of Israel, and He changes not. Hallelujah. I'm so glad to know that the God that I talk to in my prayers is the same God that Elijah was talking to when he put his head between his knees and prayed. I'm so glad that the same God that Moses prayed to when that battle was ebbing and flowing, and when he prayed and interceded, God's people prevailed. Oh, friend of mine, I'm glad I'm talking to the same God. Hallelujah. The same God that Elijah talked to on top of Mount Carmel and said, let the God that answers by fire be declared the true and the living God. I'm glad that that same God is the one that we have access to in prayer if you have accepted Christ as your personal Savior today. Hallelujah. And I'm glad the same Jesus that walked the sandy shores of Galilee is the same Jesus that we are walking with and talking with this very day. God has great plans for His people, His church, and His purposes in our generation, but we must pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, and do it in faith and without ceasing. Here's what George Mueller said. He said, the great fault of the children of God is they do not continue in prayer. They do not go on praying. They do not persevere. Ah, oh, friend of mine, I want to see that change in my life and in all the lives that through God's help that I have any influence in. See, there's such a shallow teaching on faith and prayer these days. There's no devotion to the Lordship of Christ, no dedication to the Father's will, no perseverance. Answers to prayer not based on neat little faith formulas. It's a little like the story of Aladdin and the genie of the lamp who granted wishes when you pray. You believe, you confess, and whoosh, there's the answer. What a joke. Prayer takes commitment and perseverance, but it pays such dividends when we do. Glory be to God. Amen. Today there is a prayer that we know God will answer supernaturally. Without a shadow of a doubt, today if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, you can pray right where you are, right now, and you can repent of your sins, and you can invite Jesus into your heart as your Lord and personal Savior. Wherever you are, right here, right now, that God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, this God of James and John and Peter and Paul, the God that heard the prayer and sent an angel to deliver Peter. He will deliver you from the chains of darkness, from Satan's domain, translate you into the kingdom of His dear Son, and every habit, every sin will be forgiven, every habit that holds you will be broken. God will bring you out. God will set you free in the name of Jesus Christ, and I pray that you will pray that prayer this very day, right where you are, right here in this holy moment, right now. And Christian, I pray that you will pray. Go before the Lord. Call upon Him. If you've gotten discouraged, go back and bow before Him and say, Lord, I'm sorry I doubted you. I'm going to pray again, and I'm not going to stop till the answer comes. comes. Well, we love you. Come back next week with you and let's talk about Jesus.